You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking, I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. It hasn't snowed a single flurry, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry. So climb down the chimney, put up the brightest string of lights I've ever seen. Slice up the fruitcake, it's time we hung some tinsel on that evergreen bough. For I've grown a little leaner, grown a little colder, grown a little sadder, grown a little older, and I need a little angel sitting on my shoulder, need a little Christmas now.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Angela Lansbury, Dame Angela Lansbury, if you will, and I'd like to dedicate that to my dearly departed grandmother in honor and in memory of all those hours of Murder, She Wrote that we watched when I was a little boy. You remember Murder, She Wrote, Keith?
I do, and I remember Angela Lansbury from before that. She was quite a looker when she was really young. I remember some of the early things she did in Hollywood, but, you know, she's kind of known now as a kind of matriarchal figure.
Well, she's still alive. She's still alive, and she's in her 90s. But I'll tell you what, her character, Jessica Fletcher, imagine being Jessica Fletcher. There's a murder in your neighborhood every episode, and then you figure it out.
Being Sherlock Holmes.
In a neat 60-minute episode, you figure out what the cops never could. She's 96 years old, born in London, England, still alive. What a talent. She was Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast, the cartoon version anyway. Well, welcome back. This is James Edwards and Keith Alexander. Keith has been here the entire show tonight, listening intently to David Cole. Keith, 30 seconds, your reaction to David Cole.
Well, it's like what we were saying last week. We need to reward people who say the right things and support our narrative on things. And David does that. I remember Henry Loeb in Memphis, the Jewish mayor of Memphis during the garbage workers strike, and what a stand-up guy that guy was and how he never backed down. Unlike George Wallace, he never apologized for his position because his positions were reasoned and had been reached soberly. And he says everything that's happened in Memphis since the garbage workers strike shows that I was right and my adversaries were wrong. You know, that's the type of stand-up person that we need more of, regardless of what their background
is. Well, and of course, that is an anomaly. That is certainly something that is not par for the course. However, credit will always be given when it is due here on TPC. Now, let's move on to this. We got to get to this. There's so much news to cover. Keith and I are going to take the last 2 hours tonight and cover it. And here's what we're going to start with. So we've been talking about, we've seen all of these polls showing the Democrats getting slaughtered by the Republicans. Historically, unprecedented level of a decline in the polls that the Democrats are currently suffering. And that's going to be true of the midterms, and it's projecting to be true for 2024, the presidential election as well. Now, unfortunately, the Republicans are going to be the beneficiaries of this dip, and they're not deserving of it really either. However, they are less bad than the Democrats on some levels. So why is the question? We were talking about this, Keith, the other night at supper, and I was saying, well, the Democrats are doing exactly what everyone would have expected them to do. They're leaning into woke. They're horrible across the board. I don't know exactly what they're doing that would have caught these swing voters by surprise, but nevertheless, it is happening. Of course, I did have a little bit of an idea, and we've got the facts and the figures, and we're going to roll them out for you here in just a moment. And we're going to talk about Emmett Till this hour, Jussie Smollett, a lot of stuff going on. But first, the Democrats' decline. You had a pretty good take on it.
Well, my take is this, that the Democrats were truly alarmed with what happened when Donald Trump became president. That really caught them flat-footed. They did not think that was possible. I remember the meltdowns on election night from Hillary Clinton all the way down to, you know, the members of The View. So then they finally, by hook or crook, and I think by hook and crook, got the presidency in this last election. And you'll never convince me that there was not skullduggery afoot to cause that result. Joe Biden didn't even get out of his basement, basically, and somehow polls more voters for him than any other presidential candidate in American history. But then when they got in control, they just went hog wild and pig crazy. They just they wanted to make up for the lost time of the Trump administration and advance the woke agenda, and they have been nurturing a bunch of, you know, fourth-rate nincompoops in the black community and in, you know, the far-left community, the Antifa people, the Black Lives Matter people, and they gave these people free reign. And what they did was they showed in no uncertain terms just how much they hated white people, and that doesn't mean white conservatives, that doesn't mean Southerners, that doesn't mean Germans, that means every last friggin' white person on the planet. And this alarmed a lot of their former allies, or, you know, people who considered themselves to be leftists. I remember there was a point of transition there where white suburban housewives were taking these seminars where they would invite a group of black radical women in, and those black radical women would just rake them over the coals for an entire evening, and they were being paid $5,000 a head to take this abuse. Well, apparently there wasn't much of a stomach for that abuse, because the poll numbers for the Democrats have been declining precipitously. Joe Biden has shown that he is, you know, their servant, their slave, their lackey. He's done things like, for example, why do you think that the Russians and the Chinese are showing so much assertiveness and aggressiveness on the military front, with Putin putting 100,000 troops on the Ukrainian border and the Chinese getting, you know, making rattling their sabers about Taiwan? They're doing it because of things like Rachel Levine, who not only was rewarded, is cross-dressing crazy, I mean, double ugly, would make a freight train take a dirt road, person that was the assistant in the health department or something, whatever it is in the federal government. He made this person a 4-star admiral in the U.S. Navy. The rest of the world is laughing at us, and we realize that, and we realize they've just gone a bridge too far, James.
All right, when we come back, we're going to pinpoint exactly what is causing the Democrats' precipitous decline in the polls. And I believe it, and we'll tell it to you in no uncertain terms. We're not going to be ambiguous about it. We'll tell you exactly what it is, and you won't disagree when you hear it. And then we've got other things. Emmett Till's back in the news. 66 years, still making headlines. Stay tuned.
Take me to Montana. That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that it could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question? Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
One of the great injustices in history, as far as I'm concerned, is that Rudolph got so much credit and Randolph, you really didn't hear about him except for in this song.
Randolph was Rodney Dangerfield of the reindeer pack.
Right? He couldn't get any respect. Well, anyway, we're talking about the Democrats' decline, and here are the three biggest issues to voters right now in this country, and they are in this order: inflation, immigration, and crime. Inflation, immigration, and crime. And on those, the Democrats are getting F- across the board. The Republicans are going to be the inadvertent and undeserving beneficiaries of the Democrats' ineptitude to the point that they are going to probably win by historic margins in the midterms.
By accident.
I mean, they did nothing. They don't deserve it, but the Democrats are just that bad. And so here's what you've got. What you've got is inflation that is at the highest levels in 40 years. If you think gas is a little higher than it was when Trump left office, you're not wrong. It's up 58% since Inauguration Day. 58%. Groceries, rental cars, hotels, I mean, you name it, all of the necessities, up, up, up. And that is what we've always said, Keith. That's what we've always said. What we've said is it will take economic distress before people will come back to us and give us an opportunity. However, what you have here is sort of an economic distress that's enough to make them uncomfortable, but only enough to make them uncomfortable to the extent that they go back and vote GOP, not enough to make them uncomfortable to do what needs to be done. But that really explains it. Really, it is the economy. It is inflation. That's number one. Of course, the Democrats are horrible at the border. Not that the Republicans do much more than pay lip service there, but and then on crime, I mean, the Democrats are certainly associated with the Antifa and BLM, and basically Antifa and BLM are their proxies out there on the streets. So that's why they have plummeted so hard and so fast But interestingly, to your comment about how woke they've become so woke that Latinos and Latinas are now basically 50-50 split with the GOP. Now, used to, when you would get third world illegal aliens in this country or third world immigrants, it was a voter registration drive 9-1 in favor of the Democrats. But the Democrats have gone so far. Look, Latinos want to be known as Latino or Latina. They don't want to be known as Latinx, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. They do have pretty traditional gender roles in those communities. And the Democrats have gone so far to the hard left that it's alienated even their base in terms of the Hispanic community to the point where now it's basically awash with the Republicans. And there you have it. And the rest is history. And that's why they are where they are. And that's why the Republicans are about to clean house.
Well, what they're doing is they're alienating their own base, their coalition of the other. Now, Hispanics in particular and blacks also are not into this transgenderism and gay rights and homosexual marriage and stuff like this. And when you start making headlines worldwide about appointing a cross-dressing butt-ugly person, he was butt-ugly as a man, but he's even double-ugly as a woman.
And I think that's referred to as they, the parlance. So that's the preferred pronoun.
Well, nonetheless, you know, that is a bridge too far for most people, particularly black people and Hispanic people. But what is happening is that a lot of black people, except for the most radical, you know, crazy loons in the black community, are having their ardor for the Democratic Party cooled, while the Hispanics are saying, you know, a pox on your house. I'm not part of this movement. And they still have a work ethic. In fact, that's why most of these people have come here to work. Catholic Charities and other charitable groups like that that are involved in refugee resettlement try to corrupt them and turn them into a bunch of welfare frauds. But most of these people come in with a work ethic, and they have a pretty traditional viewpoint on, you know, how hard work is essential to getting ahead in life. And, of course, that's just the opposite of what the Democrats are trying to sell to people. So they're alienating the Hispanic population. They're alienating a large part of the black population. And they basically, any white person that has any sense at all listens to this and says, you know, there's no mistaking it. They hate me just because I'm white. How can I support this? You know, that they want to fit in. But on the other hand, it's a crazy mixed up world. Just people, you've got a small group of people at the very top in the white population, in the black population, Hispanics and whatnot, that are benefiting from all this wokeness. On the other hand, most people, most middle class people, most people that aren't in the one half of 1% of the population in America are hurting because of inflation. And this inflation is really bringing it home. And you're going, you know, Joe Biden has reached almost historic lows in approval ratings.
Well, and really, the only reason he won is because there was such discontent with Trump at the time.
That was ginned up by the media.
We know that, but I'm just saying
He's going to do, Trump is going to be the big beneficiary of this, regardless of, you know, and he's a mixed bag for us.
Well, that's
sure.
The thing, though. Trump can do the exact opposite of what, or the inverted image of what Biden did. Trump can play golf at Mar-a-Lago every day in 2024 and be elected to the president. And this is what Brad Griffin's been talking about, running on the Let's Go Brandon platform, because you've got the highest level of inflation in 40 years, highest gas prices since Obama was in office, highest level of immigration, illegal immigration probably ever, the biggest spike in violent crime since the 90s, equity, so-called equity in every aspect of public policy, so-called domestic extremism, a crackdown on basically law-abiding people who dissent from this disgusting woke narrative, and censorship. That's it. I mean, that's it.
Well, you know, there's one good thing that Biden has done and one bad thing that seems to be indelibly written into Trump's DNA, and that's the support of pandering to Israel and being involved in Middle Eastern wars. Biden got us out of Afghanistan. Trump should have done that. if Trump gets back in, are we going to follow the lead of the Israelis and get into a war with Iran? Hopefully not. What's going to happen in the meantime with Russia and Ukraine on one hand, and on the other hand, China and Taiwan?
Ultimately, though, Keith, it is time. We're not represented by the Republican Party, maybe implicitly to the extent that it takes for them to get our votes. I liked a lot of the things Trump said, if not some of the things he was able to carry through on. I certainly liked that he gave everybody an example of how they could stand up to these constant smears and accusations of racism and neo-Nazism and all of these things, anti-Semitism, that we all get tarred and feathered with. But we are not represented. As a friend of mine is telling me right now, that's true. And it is time for white identity politics. And the Republican Party is not there yet. They need to be forced to go there because that's the answer for our people on this continent.
Well, see, again, we've decided that we have to ratchet back our expectations. We were talking about Governor Ron DeSantis and how he came out and said...
We talked about that for an hour last week, in fact. Yeah. I mean, he labeled the Waukesha or whatever they call it.
Annie White, Waukesha.
All right.
Waukesha. See, it's that easy, and it sounds like you're a hick when you say it, but that's what it is. And what they, you know, just having him say that, even though you know it's not going to be followed up with really pro-white changes in the law, like
it's banishing for the base.
Banning affirmative action, for example, reversing that. But at least we can at least talk the talk, and hopefully we can start to press the Republicans to walk the walk as well.
What's going on with Emmett Till? We'll tell you next.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Across six southern states, tornadoes invade.
Considerable extent and catastrophic. Any of those adjectives would be appropriate here.
And the president now promising aid.
FEMA is on the ground working with each of the states to assess the damages and focus on federal support where it is needed most.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear reporting at least 70 tornado deaths. And in Edwardsville, Illinois, near St. Louis, Missouri, at least six people were killed when an Amazon warehouse collapsed in one tornado.
We identified 45 personnel who made it out of the building safely.
The Illinois governor there is saying search and rescue operations at the site will probably last for days. The latest Blue Origin rocket back on the ground after a brief 11-minute journey into space, including NFL star and Good Morning America co-host Michael Strahan on board. And this is USA Radio News.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call now, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182. Again, that's 800-238-9182.
Some lawsuits challenging the very controversial abortion law in Texas will be allowed to move forward under the ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court on Friday. The justices did not rule yet on the constitutionality of the actual law, which prohibits abortions after roughly 6 weeks of pregnancy. The highest court in the land will be ruling on the broader abortion case in the late spring or early summer. President Joe Biden saying Russia will pay a, quote, terrible price if it moves in on Ukraine. Speaking on Saturday, the president said that he's made three things absolutely clear to the Russian president.
That if he moves on Ukraine, the economic consequences for his economy are going to be devastating.
He said he also said he would have to send American and NATO troops into the eastern flank to defend that region. And finally, Biden says he told Putin the world's view on Russia would also drastically change for the worse. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Well, I guess after hearing a song like that, and the context of that song is always open for interpretation on this particular broadcast, but I would ask you, Keith, were we better off in 1942 or 2021?
42 for sure. But let me tell you, on the other hand, the siege had already been
planned. I know. You say
mine.
That every – I ask it every time. It's the same answer every time and then the same explanation every time. But, you know, it was – I think it was Rich. And I don't remember who he said. He said it was either Bing Crosby or Burl Ives was a Satan worshiper. It had to be Burl. I think, honestly, what Rich said – I'll not joke, was that one of them was a communist. I'm pretty sure that was Burl Ives.
Burl Ives was into folk music early. He was a folky, and folkies, of course, became the leading cutting edge of the left back in...
the Gospel of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah, right, exactly, in the 60s in the Civil Rights Movement. Now
Bing was a conservative, and you have an interesting interesting little anecdote. Now, we don't need to get off on this, but we must just... For 60 seconds, please.
Okay. Bing Crosby was Frank Sinatra's nemesis in Frank Sinatra's eyes.
And Frank Sinatra, by the way, was a communist, and he was a communist sympathizer, and he was jumped-up white trash. We've written about him, this whole skit he did the house.
He kissed Jewish behind in order to get a Hollywood career.
Well, he was pushing.
He was going down when he got the role in From Here to Eternity, and that revived his career. Well,
Google, I will say this. Google an article I wrote. Maybe you can find it. I don't know. Google censors all of the returns for us. But James Edwards, The House That I Live In, Sinatra did an early pro-communist short.
That was to ingratiate himself to Jewish Hollywood, and he did that. And
anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
But anyway, what happened was Frank Sinatra thought that Bing Crosby was his big nemesis. And he was driven to distraction when the Kennedy brothers, following advice from J. Edgar Hoover that they needed to distance themselves from Sinatra and his mob connections and stuff like this, he was supposed to visit Frank Sinatra in his home. Frank Sinatra was the guy that set them up with Marilyn Monroe and people like that. Well, the helicopter flew right past Sinatra's and landed in Bing Crosby's yard.
Well, here's the thing about it. I actually read – this is so crazy because I actually just read about this today, and you're talking about it now. This is uncanny coincidental timing. But what happened was Frank Sinatra built the helipad for Kennedy to land there that day, and then when he saw Kennedy fly over and go to Bing's house, he took a sledgehammer and destroyed his own helipad and then went and pouted for a while.
Well, he did that, but, you know, again, he was crazy. Because Bing Crosby was not his nemesis. Bing Crosby was from an earlier generation. He was big from the 20s through the 40s. He still carried on into the 60s, but wasn't nearly as big a shot as Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra, his star began to rise in the 40s, and in the 50s he was really big, and in the 60s he started to fade out. But in the 50s, from the late 50s on, his real competition as being the king of the crooners was not Bing Crosby, it was Elvis Presley. And I don't think he ever realized
a little
that.
Bit different genres, I think, but well, nobody know, but, was going to take down the king.
Well, the thing is, Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, and him were both, all three of them were big ladies' men, okay? And Frank Sinatra had probably the biggest ego of all of them. And, you know, he could not believe that this hick from Memphis, Tennessee was eclipsing him. You know,
well, even better than that, Tupelo, Mississippi.
Right, yeah, Tupelo, Mississippi, for heaven's sakes. You know, well, anyway, that in fact, all of Jewish Hollywood just was scratching its head about Elvis. They said, what in the world? Where did this hick come from? Then they found out that he had a Jewish grandmother, and they became reconciled to it.
Wow. Well, now there was actually something in the Atlanta Jewish Journal, or I don't know if I'm getting the exact title right, but it was just this week. Now, because Elvis purportedly had one Jewish grandparent, he is all Jew now. Elvis is Jewish.
Well, you know, it's got to be on the female
line. Is that even true, though, that he had the one?
Well, I've heard it, but
no,
you know,
so it must be true. No, I doubt
well,
it.
Well,
I doubt
I heard it. Early
I doubt
on,
it.
But on the other hand, I never saw him slapping a yarmulke on his head
or
something.
I don't
like,
think so. I don't buy it.
Like Donald Trump, for example.
I personally don't believe it. If
he was totally. Look, let me tell you,
it doesn't
you
change the fact that he was a hell of a performer, but I don't know.
And he was totally, you know, Christian in his orientation.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, all right. I knew we would do it. I knew. I said 1 minute on Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra and Burl Ives, and we went a whole segment almost. But now we got to get it back between the ditches here. So the latest Emmett Till investigation. So it's 66 years after the death of Emmett Till. And the story you've heard about Emmett Till was that he was this young black kid who whistled at a white woman. And for that and that alone, white supremacists found him and tied him to a cotton gin fan and sent him to the watery depths of the Tallahatchie River. Now, he was most certainly murdered, and he was most certainly murdered that way. But that is hardly the entire story, and neither of it, none of it, is why we're talking about it tonight. I think what we're talking about it tonight is there is, if you're so concerned about interracial murder and interracial violence, there's a lot of material that has happened in the subsequent 66 years that the media could talk about, but they're not talking about that at all, because it's almost, and without exception, black on white interracial crime and murder.
Like, for example, I was on
CNN to talk about the Knoxville Horror back in 2007. But they're not talking about cases like that. They're not talking about cases that happened just within the last few days. We'll talk about that in a moment. 66 years later, though, still global news, still New York Times leading headlines on the case of Emmett Till. Now, again, don't do it. Don't go out and do that. It's sad, but there's a whole lot more to that story than you know about. And the fact that it's still being covered is absolutely ridiculous in light of the overwhelming black-on-white interracial violence that we have.
You would think that Emmett Till is Jesus Christ, because his death is more important than any other death in the history of mankind. And what the truth is about Emmett Till is that his father, who was described in Life magazine as being a World War II hero, was actually a World War II villain. He was convicted, court-martialed, found guilty, and hung for murdering and raping two Italian women while he was serving in the U.S. Army over there. And they say the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Emmett was being raised in Chicago. His mother was concerned about him, and so she sent him to the grandparents in Mississippi, hoping they would straighten him out. He got down there and started bragging to all the local black guys about how he had sex with white women up in Chicago. And then, to prove his bona fides on that, he went into this grocery store that had an attractive white lady working behind the counter, the wife of the owner of the grocery store, and, you know, did he whistle at her? Did he make improper proposals? Who knows exactly all the details about that? But Jewish power and influence always does the same thing. They will never let something rest. It's like, you know, tracking down Adolf Eichmann and whatnot. They will keep going after these people and going after them until the last one is dead. And then when the last one is dead, they'll do like the Cavaliers did to Oliver Cromwell. They'll dig up the corpse of Oliver Cromwell, try it in absentia, and then give him the death penalty and chop off the head on his corpse.
Well, that was something that we said a couple of days ago. I said, you know, even the people who were accused of doing this are dead now, so what do they want to do? Try them in absentia?
There's one person.
And you said yes. You said yes. And in fact, there's a precedent for that. And I started laughing my ass off.
Well, look, what happened was Carolyn Bryant
Still alive and I believe living in now in North Carolina.
Yeah, right. She was the lady that was supposedly was the object of Emmett Till's thwarted affections or whatnot.
And the only reason he was sent down to Mississippi at all was because he was getting into so much trouble
in Chicago. Because he was a bad actor and his family was trying to straighten him out.
And because he was a bad actor and because he whistled at this woman allegedly doesn't mean, obviously, that you have the right to kill him. That is murder.
And that's what...
That's not the point. The point is, 66 years you're still going on about this, that is not the problem now.
Look, let's bring
and
it
it's
in.
Over.
I was there at the genesis of this. I was at Rhodes College, where I went to school, when this kind of dwarfish history professor brought in this woman that was doing a new book on Emmett Till, and they were trying to find some living person to prosecute, and they focused on Carolyn Bryant.
They're still trying. They were trying last week. We'll be right back.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Well, it does make sense if you think about it, ladies and gentlemen. It took, when you think about the German names that those reindeer had, it took Wernher von Braun to send people into space. It took German reindeers to get, I mean, imagine, to get Santa to all those houses in one night. Only Germans could do something like that. I mean, you got to admit. But anyway, hey, we're having a lot of fun with the fun time, feel good, festive, seasonal pop songs. And God knows I love them. And if I didn't love them, I wouldn't play them. But we are going to refocus on what really matters and the true reason of the season next week for the broadcast of December the 18th. And we will be with you on Christmas night, December. You know, you want to talk about a festive holiday schedule, Keith. Saturdays just so happen to fall on December the 25th and January 1st, and we will be with you on both Christmas night and New Year's Day night. So we're not going to let you down, folks. We're not going to mail it in. We're going to not play a replay. We're going to be here with you and spend that time with our listening families after we spend time with our in-home families. But nevertheless, next week we will sort of shift gears from a lot of this fun music that has become popular and refocus on the spiritual hymns and carols that point to the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do next week with the musical selections and then, of course, on Christmas. And it'll be great to be with you on Christmas as well here on TPC. Our fourth quarter Christmas fundraising drive is currently ongoing. And don't forget, David Cole, who you heard from in the first hour, not only is he offering the incentive gift for those of you who contribute $100 or more this month before December the 31st, he actually wrote the actual solicitation that you received in the mail, or at least the body of it, the main parts of it. I had a little preface and a parting shot there that I pinned. But in any event, we hope that you'll contribute and keep us going into what will be our 18th year come January when the calendar turns. That'll be our 18th year on the air. We want to be here. And we always try to go the extra mile by giving you a thoughtful incentive gift. And this month is no different. Now, back to Emmett Till, Keith. Here's the thing. Even if he was a bad apple, and he was, and even if his father was hanged as a rapist in Italy, which he was.
And a murderer.
And even if one of the accused was a Navy winner of the Silver Star in the Pacific War, a genuine war hero, okay, it doesn't change the fact that this guy, Emmett Till, was murdered. And that's inappropriate, I guess. Okay, that's not the point. The point is they tried this case, what, about 57 times? And they opened investigations countless times. And, you know, what are you going to do now? You're going to try a corpse? It just you didn't catch whoever did it, and that's just the way it was. Now let's move on to what's actually happening now. And let me tell you, Keith, what's happening now. Here's just one example that just happened just within the last few days. And V-Dare covers this. His name was Ryan Rogers. He was a white 14-year-old little boy out riding his bike. Now, this is not the same one you remember from a few months ago. That was Connor or Cannon Hynant? No, this is a separate case. Ryan Rogers, 14-year-old boy, white boy, out riding his bike.
Totally murdered, innocent.
Murdered by a black man with an extensive criminal record who had allegedly written anti-white sentiments. So you know what this is? It is the exact polar opposite of what you had with the Emmett Till case. But I will tell you something, and you can take this to the bank. You will not hear the name of Ryan Rogers still being covered with front page headlines in the New York Times 66 years from now. You probably haven't heard his name at all. You won't hear his name 6 days from now, much less 60 years from now. And that's the thing, and that's why the media is so sick and so perverted and so evil.
Well, see, that is Jewish power and influence's long shadow cast upon our society. We have certain people who are heroes, black people, certain people that are villains, white Southerners or Germans or white people generally.
We just gave you the exact opposite of the Emmett Till case with the races reversed. Nobody's talking about it. Happened just a few days ago. Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, nothing to see here. Well, what happened with Emmett Till? How did Emmett Till get back in the news? Well, he got back in the news because the Department of Justice has been working on trying to find someone else to prosecute.
The Department of Social Justice, if I may, Keith. The Department.
The social justice warriors in the Department of Justice were working on trying to find someone else to prosecute to keep the flickering, dying candle or flame of Emmett Till alive. Now, I was there for the beginning of this. I saw there was a meeting in Hardy Auditorium at Rhodes College with a dwarf who is a history professor over there who is like about as liberal as any person could possibly be. And he had a black author who had just brought out a new book where they were trying to set up somebody peripherally associated with the Emmett Till case and prosecute them to, you know, satisfy the bloodlust of the left regarding the Emmett Till case. And the person who was still alive, who had something peripherally to do with it, was Carolyn Bryant, the woman who supposedly was the object of the wolf whistle of Emmett Till. Well, she had moved to North Carolina, and they interviewed her, and she was a nice, genteel Southern lady, and she was asked about what he did, and she said, well, he didn't do anything that deserved to be killed for, because she was a genteel, good person. Well, they tried to trump that up through the Department of Justice and through additional investigations and whatnot to find some type of accomplice type guilt on the part of Carolyn Bryant so that they could prosecute her. It's just like what they did with Edgar Ray Killen in the Mississippi burning murders. They prosecuted him numerous times and eventually got him so that he was a pathetic spectacle. You see this old man walking on a walker with an oxygen tank, found guilty of some type of, you know, a secondary or tertiary crime involving the Mississippi burning murders, and he dies in prison. See, that's what they want. They wanted that to happen to Carolyn Bryant, and the Department of Justice was working hand in glove with them trying to do that, but they even eventually had to give up on it. And see, we have this blatant double standard where, for example, people like the young man that James was talking about earlier in this segment was killed by a black man, and we're not even supposed to, that's not even going to be noticed, or if it's noticed, it's going to be like on page 22 of the New York Times. Yeah, right. But see, that's, things like that are on the Daily Ken or something like that. See, that's the only way you can keep
and
up.
I'm glad you mentioned him, by the way, Keith. Ken Givitan, the Daily Ken, is probably the greatest chronicler we've got of
if you want to find out what really is happening regarding interracial crime, that's the place to go to. VDare is a good place, too. But they couldn't get Carolyn Bryant on this thing, so they had to eventually, the Department of Justice closed the book on it. But they wanted, you know, they had the pitchforks and the torches out, and they were going after Carolyn Bryant. For example, here's another example.
I gotta say this before we run out of time. This segment, you were saying they couldn't find justice on it. That's just this time. This isn't the first time they've reopened this case. They'll reopen it again. Did you know that there is something called? This is incredible. Listen to this: the Emmett Till Unresolved Civil Rights Crime Act requires the Justice Department to make an annual report to Congress on this case.
See, that is just like the Nuremberg trials. It's just like Jewish power and influence tracking down these Nazis through, Elie Wiesel or whatnot, trying to find somebody, anybody that had anything to do with Jews and World War II. Remember when they had the guy John Demjanjuk, who was a Polish guy who apparently had been a guard at Auschwitz or one of these other, Dachau or one of these other so-called concentration camps. And he was He was up in his 90s. He'd lived a blameless life. He'd lived an exemplary life. He'd been a sound, solid citizen all of his time in America. They got him, hauled him to Israel, tried him in a kangaroo court so that he would live, you know, behind bars in the last days of his life to satisfy the bloodlust of these leftists and Jewish power and influence in America and in the world.
Yeah, I don't want it to make it appear as though we're making light of this kid's murder. I mean, black or white, I mean, this was murder and murder's murder. But I think the point of it is this coverage and this insatiable appetite to find justice. But there's no justice.
They're like a bulldog with a bloody bone. They just won't give up. You know, it doesn't matter. Double jeopardy be damned as a constitutional safeguard. They will bring 4, 5, 6, 7, 20 prosecutions if necessary,
well,
but they're going to finally get their man.
There's this act that requires them to revisit it again next year and report to Congress again next year, so we'll cover it again next year. We'll be back with Jussie Smollett. So we'll cover it again next year. We'll be back with Jussie Smollett. So we'll cover it again next year. We'll be back with Jussie Smollett. So we'll cover it again next year. We'll be back with Jussie Smollett. So we'll cover it again next year. We'll be back with Jussie Smollett. So we'll cover it again next year. We'll be back with Jussie Smollett.